5 steps to overcoming your anxiety symptoms once and for all. Chances are, if you're dealing with bizarre, mysterious physical symptoms that the doctors can't figure out, if you're getting scary, intrusive, what if thoughts, what if this is your life forever, what if this is something you're always going to be dealing with, whether you're getting feelings of unreality, the depersonalization, derealization, you might have tried everything to make these symptoms go away. You might have tried supplements, breathing techniques, yoga, diet changes, lifestyle adjustments, exercise, anything and everything to make these symptoms go away. And yet, you can't manage to find any relief. Well, in this video, I'm going to be sharing with you what you can do to begin overcoming these symptoms once and for all. Not just coping or managing with these symptoms, but really focusing on long-term freedom. Because the truth is that you don't have to cope or manage with these symptoms. A lot of the things you've tried in the past have tried to find some short-term relief. But if you can focus on some principles, well, what you can do is focus on long-term freedom. This way, you're not always dealing with short-term comfort, but you can focus on long-term freedom. So let's get started. Now, one of the most important stages in the recovery journey is in the beginning, making sure you've gotten everything ruled out by your doctors. Truth is that anxiety can be a side effect or a symptom of something else going on. So it's very important to go to your doctors to make sure that everything is good, your organs and vitals are functioning as they should, your blood tests have come out clear. If you've gone to your doctor several times and they haven't found anything, the good news is that it is anxiety. Doctors are very good at identifying if there's a physical abnormality that needs to be dealt with. But what often happens is anxiety sufferers will go to their doctors, and when their doctors tell them that there's nothing wrong, anxiety sufferers are one of the only people out there that will get upset from hearing good news. Because even though they might find that there's nothing wrong, and that's a good sign, they're not sure why they're experiencing these symptoms, and they're still not finding relief. The unfortunate news is that the doctors don't have much they can do. They can provide some medication, and they can offer you to go see a therapist. Besides that, there's not much doctors can do. It's important to recognize the doctor's main role is to identify if there's a physical anomaly. But once you recognize that everything is good, well, this isn't a physical issue. What's really going on is that your nervous system is sensitized. And this leads me to the second step, which is understanding the mechanics of anxiety. See, if you're dealing with these intense physical symptoms, intrusive thoughts, the depersonalization, derealization, weird emotions, you might be thinking that those symptoms are the problem. And you might be doing anything and everything to make these symptoms go away. Well, here's the truth. A lot of these things that you're experiencing are a side effect of a root problem. And what your doctors have labeled this root problem as is anxiety. Now, when I'm referring to anxiety, I'm not referring to anxiety as an emotion, like feelings of happiness, feelings of sadness. I'm referring to anxiety as what we call a stress response, or think of it as a state. Here's what happens. Whenever you're dealing with stressful situations, no matter what they are, your nervous system can handle only so much stress. But once you hit a stress threshold, well, what happens is that your nervous system becomes very sensitive as a consequence. Oftentimes, this happens when people have their very first panic attack, and oftentimes they don't even know it's a panic attack. What happens is that their nervous system becomes very sensitive because they've been in this stress response for so long that the nervous system adapts by saying, if Sean is dealing with stress for such a long time, well, we might want to be more sensitive in case there's more threats or there are more stressors out there. This might seem counterintuitive. Why would your nervous system be more sensitive from dealing with more stress? Well, it makes a lot of sense. Imagine if you saw a tiger and you managed to escape. Now, what happens when you go to a similar environment? Well, your body and mind has almost taken a screenshot of that environment. So anytime you go to that environment, well, your nervous system is going to be on high alert. It's going to be more sensitive. Because it saw a tiger once, the chance of it seeing a tiger again is very likely. So your nervous system becomes primed to see dangers. In other words, your nervous system has become more sensitive. Now, why is this important? Well, what happens is when your nervous system becomes more sensitive, you have a lot of physiological changes. And a lot of the symptoms you are experiencing is a side effect of your nervous system being sensitized. This is why in the second stage, it's so important that you understand the mechanics of anxiety. A lot of people think that when they're told that they have anxiety, they feel like this is just in their head. that the doctors are missing something. But really what's happening is that there's nothing physically wrong, but your nervous system is sensitive, and this sensitivity is what's creating all the symptoms. But inherently, there's nothing physically wrong. In fact, I would make the argument that your body is doing exactly what it was designed to do. Once you start recognizing that all these symptoms are a side effect of your nervous system being sensitized, then what we say is throw everything in the anxiety umbrella. What happens is a lot of people have all these different symptoms and they try to fix each specific symptom, and that makes it very difficult. What happens is that they feel like they have 50 problems or they have 100 problems. But once you realize that this is all a side effect of one issue, well, then what we say is throw all these symptoms under the anxiety umbrella. Now, you might be wondering, okay, but how do I know which symptom is part of the anxiety umbrella and which one isn't? Well, it's really easy. The answer is, what has your doctors told you? If they haven't really found an issue, well, then all of the symptoms you're dealing with is part of anxiety. If they find one symptom to be something else, or if they found something else, well, then treat that for what it is, but then throw the rest of your symptoms under the anxiety umbrella. Moving forward, you don't have 50 problems. You only have one problem, which is anxiety. The analogy I like to give is like almost having a flu. If you have the flu, you don't have a thermoregulation issue. You don't have a night sweats issue. You don't have a fatigue issue. You just have the flu. Once your body fights off the flu, all those symptoms go away. And it's the same thing with these anxiety-based symptoms. You might feel like you have that one really strong, stubborn symptom that isn't anxiety, but it's very important to throw that under the anxiety umbrella as well. Now, once you throw everything under the anxiety umbrella, this leads me to the third step, which is learning how to respond to these symptoms. See, historically, if you were dealing with these symptoms, you might have done everything to find short-term relief, to avoid these symptoms. You might stop going places. You might have developed compulsions. You might have done all these different things where anytime you feel an anxiety symptom, whatever that is, brain fog, dizziness, nausea, you try to do something to find some relief. You'll notice very quickly that this doesn't work. And in fact, your anxiety can even generalize. So what's the solution here? Well, it's recognizing that the solution isn't through avoidance. It isn't trying to find short-term relief. The solution is actually within the symptom. Here's what I mean. Whenever you have symptoms arise, rather than avoiding it, it's more about responding to the symptoms. Think of your symptoms as just excess adrenaline. Your body's trying to burn off excess adrenaline, and a lot of the symptoms you're experiencing is a side effect of excess adrenaline. But every time you try to resist the symptoms, the body can't burn off that adrenaline. But once your body's able to burn off all the adrenaline, you feel much better. You feel relaxed. But anytime you're avoiding your symptoms, every time you're fighting with it, every time you're trying to fix it, you're not letting your body do what it needs to do. So it's important to recognize that responding to your symptoms is what's going to lead to your salvation. That's what's going to liberate you from these symptoms. So it's recognizing avoidance doesn't work. In fact, you want to feel these sensations, these symptoms, and learn how to respond. Now you might be wondering, how do you respond to these symptoms? Well, we've helped people around the world overcome their symptoms and go back to living. And we've came up with an acronym. And the acronym is called ALARM. Now, the reason why we call it ALARM is that, well, your anxiety is sort of like an alarm system. It's designed to protect you from threats. It's there to identify what is a threat and what's not. But what's happened is that it's very confused right now. It doesn't know what is a threat and what isn't. So it's assuming everything is a threat. Every symptom, every sensation, every feeling, every emotion is a threat. So we want to reteach this alarm system. We want to recalibrate it. Now, the ALARM acronym is very simple. It goes like this. The first A is acknowledge. So recognizing when a symptom pops up, acknowledging that the symptom is there. Call out the elephant in the room. Don't try to pretend the symptom's not there. When a symptom shows up, whether it's dizziness, whether it's palpitations, whether it's breathlessness, whether if it was like me, digestive issues, vision changes, acknowledge that it is there. Then the next one is L, which is label the symptom. Remember how we identified each symptom as part of the anxiety umbrella? Well, it's important to label this symptom as just another symptom of anxiety. Remember, you only have one problem moving forward. You don't have 50, you don't have 100, you just have one, which is a sensitized nervous system, or you can say anxiety. The next A is accepting the symptom, allowing the symptom to be there. At best, if you can't even allow the symptoms, tolerating the symptom. But the focus is on accepting and letting the symptom be there. Give it as much space as it wants and continue on with your day. Now, the last two are really important and it's something that people often miss, which is refocus from the symptom. Now, this is going to be very difficult, especially when you're new at this. The symptom is going to almost hit you like a train. It feels like there's nothing else you can focus on. If the symptom shows up at work, continue your work. If the symptom shows up while you're driving, continue driving. Basically, don't stop your life anytime you're experiencing these symptoms. Always acknowledge the symptom being there, label it, accept it, and then refocus to whatever you're doing. If you're washing the dishes and you get a wave of panic, let the panic come and continue washing your dishes. And then the M is move on, meaning continue living your life. Your body is very dynamic and it's gonna be doing what it needs to in order to get you back to baseline. You don't need to figure out why each symptom pops up, because whether you know why the symptom pops up or not, the solution is still the same. So it's better just to move on and make other things more important than your anxiety. Now, this solution is very simple, and you might be thinking, okay, this sounds almost too simple. How is this gonna get me out? Well, it's important to understand what's keeping you in the cycle. Now, there's a lot of things that you're doing that's keeping you in the cycle that you might not be noticing. My team and I have coined this as the 5F principle. Anybody that's dealing with intense symptoms that's in this anxiety cycle are doing at least one or more of these 5Fs. And the 5Fs are simple. It goes like this. You're always trying to fix your symptom. You're always trying to fight your symptom. You're always focused on your symptom. You're always fearing your symptom. And 5, you're always frustrated by your symptom. It's very important to ask yourself if you're doing any of these 5 things. What happens is when people are fearing their symptom, it's because they think that this symptom is the onset of something more serious. They don't understand the mechanics of anxiety. Or 2, they're always fighting their symptoms. They have this compulsion of constantly trying to fight it. Or 3, they're always trying to fix it. They might be using peppermint tea, lavender tea, mints, supplements, whatever it is to fix the symptom, recognizing you don't need to fix anything. And 4, you're always focused on the symptom. You're always trying to identify, is the symptom there? Is the symptom not there? And 5, getting frustrated by it. If your symptoms are high, it's ruined your day. You're in a bad mood. When you're doing these 5 Fs, it might seem very innocent and harmless, but it's these things that are keeping your nervous system sensitized. When your nervous system is very sensitive, even small things like these can add more pressure. So responding is 2 parts, which is alarming it, which is the alarm acronym, and then also doing an audit. Am I doing any of these 5 Fs whenever I'm experiencing symptoms? Now, 4 is dealing with setbacks. Look, the truth is this. Anxiety recovery isn't overnight. It's not like you do this for a day and the next morning you're fine. In fact, I would say recovery is not even linear. Oftentimes, recovery feels like 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. You'll have days where you're feeling great and you feel like you're gotten out of this. And then you'll also have times where you feel like anxiety just hit you like a train and it feels like you haven't made any progress at all. Dealing with the ups and downs of recovery is very important. And so it's important to recognize that 1, setbacks are part of the recovery journey. And the 2nd thing is to not measure your recovery based on your symptoms. See, what happens is when people have a setback, they start experiencing intense symptoms, and now they start monitoring their progress based on their symptoms. It's important to navigate these setbacks, and it's also a good reminder that focusing on progress isn't based on the symptoms. The key to your progress is how you respond to these symptoms. When the symptoms are low or non-existent, you have no problem accepting. But when the symptoms come full force, then it's very hard to respond. But that's where it counts. So when you can respond to your best of your ability, when the symptoms are really high, that's the measure of progress. Setbacks are essentially waves. They come and go. But if you try to fight it, you're gonna get thrown under the wave and you'll go underwater. But if you're able to respond, the wave always passes. Setbacks are a great opportunity for you to practice your response. And what happened when I started being able to respond correctly to setbacks is that my recovery grew exponentially. After each setback, I felt like I leveled up. I got stronger. My nervous system was stronger. I had more confidence in myself. As you learn how to deal with setbacks, then you're going to be focusing on the next step, which is regaining core confidence. Now, confidence in itself is very situational. If you're in a situation where, let's say you know everybody, let's say it's your party and you invite everybody, it's natural to be confident. However, if you go to a group of people where you don't know anybody, you might not be as confident. Recovery can feel like that. If you're not experiencing symptoms, you're feeling fine, you're feeling good, but what happens when the symptoms come back? Well, it's very easy to go back into these avoidance behaviors. So the key is gaining core confidence. This means no matter what situation you're in, you're confident because you know how to respond and you recognize that recovery comes from within. This stage is about learning how to regain core confidence. No matter what happens in your life, whether you're experiencing symptoms or not, you begin living your life and you continue with your routine. Do this for long enough and the core confidence comes on its own. Now, as you learn how to respond, as you learn the mechanics of anxiety, as you learn how to deal with setbacks, confidence arises on its own. The mistake a lot of people make here is that they try to become confident first. But confidence is a side effect. It's a byproduct of learning how to respond and dealing with setbacks. As you push past your boundaries, that's where the confidence comes in. But too many people try to get confident first and then push past their boundary. That doesn't work. You're putting the cart in front of the horse. Now, if you've made it this far in the video, I want to give you another bonus step that happens in the recovery journey, which is never falling back into the cycle. Because the truth is, recovery isn't about just coming out of this, but recovery is making sure that this never happens again in the future. And as you're going through the recovery journey, you're going to learn the principles, the mechanics, the mindsets of what's going on. And as you do that, well, you'll naturally never fall back into the cycle. There are people that have gone through this recovery journey unconsciously. They don't know what they did, but they managed to get out. The reality is that was pure luck. But what we want to do is we want to get out of this consciously. We want to understand the mechanics. We want to learn how to respond. We want to throw everything under the anxiety umbrella. We want to be able to deal with setbacks. We want to be able to gain our core confidence. If you can do this consciously, well, you will never fall back into the cycle. One of the biggest reasons why people fell into the cycle in the first place is because they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know why they were experiencing a panic attack. They didn't even know it was a panic attack. They thought something physical was wrong. They kept following their symptoms into this hamster wheel and they couldn't identify what was going on. They were just questioning everything. They were feeling disconnected. But as you start understanding what's going on, as you start seeing what's working, well, you recognize exactly the mechanics and forces at play. If you know why you fell into the cycle, well, you'll naturally never fall back into the cycle again. So the last stage is making sure you never fall back in the cycle. Now, this doesn't mean that the self-development journey doesn't end. In fact, it keeps going. Except the focus shifts from overcoming these symptoms to life things. You start recognizing that these thoughts you had was never you. You start recognizing that these physical symptoms that felt so real for you, well, there wasn't anything there. Now you start diving into deeper topics, self-development topics. Who are you? What were the mindsets and beliefs that made you fall into the cycle? But again, this goes beyond the scope of anxiety. So it becomes a never-ending journey of self-discovery, and it's a beautiful journey. So I hope this helps, and I hope this gives you some perspective of why all these coping crutches didn't work, why supplements didn't work, why breathing techniques didn't work. It was because you were trying to use them as a shield for feeling your anxiety symptoms. But they were never designed to be a shield. They were just designed to help you cope. Now, as you learn how to respond to your symptoms, now if you want to go back to these things, that's fine. But number one, you'll do it with the right intention. You know it's not there to make the symptoms go away. And number two, you'll actually find they're more effective because you're not relying on them in a desperate manner to make your symptoms go away. I hope this video helps. If you want to know more resources, I'll put a link down below in the description, bunch of resources to help you on your recovery journey. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.